Friends, again, and welcome to Search the Scriptures, the one of the only programs, I'm not going to say the only program, but one of the only programs that you will find on radio that will bring you the truth of Scripture without the traditions of men and without the traditions of religion. Today I want to get into a subject, and like I said many times, we start the program with Revelation 12:9. Satan has deceived the whole world. And boy, if that was written 2,000 years ago, how much more is it apropos today? There are so many things in religion that we go over on this program, whether it be trying to say our Heavenly Father's Torah is done away with, to changing the Sabbath day from Saturday to Sunday, or the pagan holidays that Satan has instilled into modern religions. There are so many different things. But today I want to go over a misconception that almost all churches have and that you don't find in your Bible, and that's the state of the dead. In our last program, we talked about, is there an immortal soul? And we clearly proved from Scripture there's not. If for some reason you did not hear that program, you can always go in our archives on www.cohyhwh.com. We are the Congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem. This is being recorded directly in Israel, the Promised Land. The law will go forth from Zion and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And that's where we are. We are in the Promised Land of Yahweh giving you this broadcast. So whenever you might be hearing this on any local radio station where it can be anywhere in the world, you can always go to our website if I refer to another program, and you could look at any of the programs that are on there. But the last program we talked about that you actually are a living soul, you don't have a soul. And the soul that sins, it shall die. Ezekiel 18 and verse 4. But one of the misconceptions that comes from the immortal soul doctrine is the fact of most people, I would say probably 95% of people out there, if you were to ask, believe that when you die, you either go to heaven if you're good or hell if you were bad. But do we find that? What is the state of the dead? And the reason why this is very important, two reasons. Number one, we're all going to die. That's pretty evident. You know, they say the old expression, there's only two things that you can be sure of in life. And that's death and taxes, right? So we're all going to die, and I think we all want to know what happens when we die. What happens to us? But even more important than that is the reward of the saved. Because by proving to you today that the dead are asleep, that they're in their grave, they're not up in heaven, it's going to lead into our next program that's going to start getting into the reward of the saved. You know, there's a very important reason why this broadcast is coming to you from Israel. There's a very important reason why the Congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem hosts the three pilgrim feasts in Jerusalem during the year. Because again, the Heavenly Father is restoring all things, and the city of the great King is Jerusalem. The land of Israel is the land of our Heavenly Father. And because of the misconceptions of religion, many things that have been changed. One of the things that has been changed is that Jerusalem has been changed to heaven. Instead of the reward being Jerusalem and Israel, the reward is now heaven. But you don't find that in your Bible. So I want to start in John 3:13. Like I said, we don't have a lot of time on these programs and a lot to go over. We do have Bible studies about these subjects online. So if ever you hear it and your interest is piqued, like I said, you can always go to our website, www.cohyhwh.com, and you can download anything for free. We're not here to sell you anything, but to bring you the truth of Scripture. John 3:13, a very interesting scripture. It says, "And no one has gone up to heaven except he having come down from heaven, the Son of Man who was in heaven. No one has gone up to heaven except he coming down from heaven." So it's a very interesting thing that most of the churches today, including the largest Christian church on earth, if you want to call it Christian, the Catholic Church or the Universal Church, that clearly teaches, you know, that when you die, your soul goes to heaven. But we saw before, the soul is not separated from the body. And we're going to see here in a few minutes what exactly does happen to you when you do die. But just logically think to yourself for a minute. If the Bible clearly tells us that no one has ever gone to heaven, then it's pretty simple, right? The dead aren't in heaven. They got to be somewhere else, which we'll get into. But just think, you might be listening to this from the first time and saying, oh, this can't be true. If this was true, why didn't I ever hear about this before? But let's go to a scripture, and I want to prove to you right here that the dead do not go to heaven upon their death. Think of someone in the Bible. If I had to say to you, think of a great man in the Bible, who would you think of? Of course, you have the apostles, you have Moses. But, I mean, who was a person in the Bible that was called a man after Yahweh's own heart? And Yahweh is the personal name of our Heavenly Father. Almost 7,000 times in your Bible, his personal name of Yahweh is taken out and exchanged with either generic titles or even worse, pagan names. So when I say Yahweh, I mean our Heavenly Father. Why would David be called a man after Yahweh's own heart, King David? There had to be something special about him, right? Because he was such a special person. Matter of fact, all the messianic prophecies, he was so special that the Messiah himself, one of the prophecies was he would have to be a seed born from the lineage of David. So if there's anybody that would be in heaven, of course it would be David, right? It would have to be, you know. Would have to be David and probably Abraham, right? Father Abraham, but we'll see where he is too. But let's go to Acts 2. Acts 2, and I want to go to two scriptures. Here's Acts 2:29. And I want to see what Peter, on the day of Shavuot or Pentecost, what he preached. Acts 2 and verse 29. It says, "Men, brothers, let me speak boldly with you to say to you as to the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is among us until this day." That David is died and is buried, and his tomb is among us to this day. And then let's look at verse 34. "For David did not ascend into heaven, but he says, Yahweh said to my Adonai, sit at my right hand until I place those who are your enemies as a footstool to your feet." David did not ascend to heaven. So wow. Here it is, he's saying King David that had died at this point, 1,000 years before this was written. And he's saying, David is still in his tomb today. He's still sleeping in his tomb today. And that's what I want to prove to you today. I want to show you from Scripture that clearly, 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 that when you die, the Bible refers to it as sleep. You know, dust you came, to dust you shall return. And when you die, you're sleeping in the dirt, in Hades, the grave, waiting for the resurrection. And when the resurrection happens, everyone will be resurrected. Those who did good to eternal life, and those who did evil to eternal damnation. So nobody is floating around in heaven right now on a harp. There's nothing in the Bible that absolutely says that whatsoever. I'll go to another scripture here in Ecclesiastes. We'll go to Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter. Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter. And verse 5. It says, "For the living know that they shall die, but the dead do not know anything." The living know that they shall die, but the dead do not know anything. There is no consciousness in the grave, as Scripture tells us. It's just like when you're sleeping. If you go to sleep at 9 o'clock at night, and you wake up 6 o'clock the next morning, you're not thinking, oh, 9 hours. You're not laying in the bed, oh man, another 3 hours. No. It's like a moment, like the twinkling of an eye. 1 minute you're laying in the bed and boom, 9 hours went by. And then it's the next morning. It's the same with death. Upon death, you have no idea that you died. You know, if you died, whether you had a heart attack and fell over, or whether you were shot and killed, or whether you died in war, whatever it was that someone died, in the twinkling, in a moment the twinkling of an eye, a blink of an eye, even though 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years could have passed, to the person it'll be like a second. It'll be just like a second. And we're going to read that in a minute here. We're going to see the Scripture says that. So where, number one, where did this idea of going to heaven come from? It certainly didn't come from your Bible. It didn't come from the early believers. I want to read here to you that this is coming from the New International Encyclopedia, the first edition on the article Heaven. It says, the dominant view in the early congregation seems to have been that until the return of the Messiah upon the clouds of heaven to raise the dead, those who had died were asleep, and they would be suddenly awakened to be given their new bodies, after which they would reign with him on the earth for 1,000 years. So very clearly, the concept of going to heaven, it wasn't there with the early congregation. They didn't believe. So where did these teachings come from? Such teachings did not become popular until long after the death of the apostles. History shows that the teachings of Catholic Church fathers, Clement of Alexandria, Origen, and others gradually turned most Christians from the belief in a literal 1,000-year reign on earth of Yeshua to going to heaven upon when you die. Where did this come from? Very simply, it was borrowed from Egyptian mythology. It was Egyptian mythology that started to teach about the afterlife and the immortal soul and all these things. Paganism, it comes completely out of paganism. But it's not part of the word of our Heavenly Father. So let's go to a few more scriptures and we could see this. That scripture clearly shows the dead are asleep. Acts 7 and verse 60. And this is, remember, when Stephen was given the great, oh man, Acts the 7th chapter, it's like you read it and you get lost in the story. He's telling such a great testimony of all about Israel and Moses and everything that happened. And it's unbelievable. And then what do? They actually stone him for his message and kill him. And I'll read in verse 59, and they were stoning Stephen while he prayed, and he said, our master Yeshua, Yeshua is the Hebrew name for who most people call Jesus, but we, like I said, we're here in Israel broadcasting this, and we will always use his original Hebrew name, Yeshua. And he said, our master Yeshua received my spirit, and after he kneeled down, he cried with a loud voice and said, our master, do not cause this sin to stand against them. And having said this, he fell asleep. He died. You have, and I don't have the time here in a short broadcast like this to give you all the different scriptures. Like I said, we have Bible studies online, but I'll give you a few that clearly, in scripture, when someone died, it's referred to as sleeping. Let's go back to the book of John. We'll see this again. John 11. John 11, and just one verse. Verse 11. We'll see it again. John 11, 11. And this is with Lazarus. Remember when Lazarus died and they were going and Yeshua resurrected him? He said these things, and after this he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I am going that I may resurrect him. Our friend Lazarus sleeps. He died, and it was referred to as sleeping. If we go to the book of Thessalonians, wonderful book, tells us a lot about the resurrection, tells us about the return to earth of our Master Yeshua. And like I said, as we close up this broadcast, I'm going to be leading up into the next one about the reward of the saved, because that's the problem. If the dead are all up in heaven, floating on a harp or doing whatever they're supposed to be doing up there, then what is the purpose of the resurrection? Very, very few people today are talking about the return to this earth of our Savior Yeshua. The Son. You know, my boss is a Hebrew carpenter, a Jewish carpenter. And very few people are talking about his return to the earth and the 1,000-year millennial reign of peace on this earth, and that those who are faithful and are believers in him will be resurrected and will reign with him on the earth. We'll get into that in the next time. But today I'm clearly showing you that when you replace the kingdom of Yahweh, his literal kingdom here from the land of Israel, with going to heaven, you lose the whole concept of why we need a resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 4 is actually talking about this time and the return to earth of our Savior. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 15. For we say this to you in the word of Yahweh, that we the living, okay, who remain to the coming of our Master, we're living in that last generation. We'll have a program that will prove that we are the last generation before the Messiah returns. So he's saying the ones that are alive right now to the coming of our Master will not at all go before those who have fallen asleep. See, the ones that are alive now will not go before all the ones for the last 2,000 years who have fallen asleep, who died. Because the Master himself, Yeshua, shall come down from heaven with a commanding shout of an archangel's voice and with Yahweh's trumpet. And the dead in Messiah will rise again first. They will be born again. They will rise from the dead. They have no consciousness right now. We just read in Ecclesiastes, the dead know nothing. The living know that they shall die, but the dead know nothing. There's no consciousness in the grave. Then we who remain alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet our Master in the air, and so we will always be with our Master. So then comfort each other with these words. See, that's why when someone dies, we don't have to feel this. We mourn because we love the person, we miss them, but we don't have to feel this mourning as if there's no hope. Because we know when someone dies, they are merely sleeping in the grave, waiting for this time I just read about in Thessalonians, this great resurrection, when our Master's feet will step on the Mount of Olives, which is right here in this land of Israel. And that's what we're looking for. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. We'll see it again. 1 Corinthians 15 is actually the resurrection chapter. And I'm just going to go into a couple of verses here. I'll start in verse 50 of 1 Corinthians 15. Look what it says. And I say this, brothers, that flesh and blood is not able to inherit the kingdom of Yahweh, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I speak a mystery to you. We shall not all fall asleep, right? We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the blinking of an eye, at the last trumpet, for a trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The dead will be raised incorruptible. They're not alive today. They're sleeping in the ground. Clearly, John 3:13, no man has ascended up to heaven. That is very, very clear from Scripture. Nobody is up in heaven right now, floating on a harp. Alrighty, let's go to Luke, the 23rd chapter. Luke, the 23rd chapter, because sometimes people will say, what about the thief on the cross? What about the thief on the cross? Didn't he go to heaven? Didn't Yeshua say to him that he was going to be in heaven that very day? No, he did not. He did not. And again, you got to remember that in the original language that the Bible was written in, Hebrew in the Old Testament, Aramaic in the New Testament, that there was not the punctuation that we have today, and you have to be able to read the scriptures in context. But I'll prove to you that that is not what it said. Luke 23, and I'm going to start in verse 39. This is the thief on the cross. And one of the hanged criminals blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Messiah, save yourself and us. And his companion rebuked him and said, you are not even afraid of Yahweh, because even you are in that judgment. And we are deserving justly, for we have done. For as we have done, we have been repaid. But that which is hateful has not been done by this man. And Yeshua said, and he said to Yeshua, the thief on the cross, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Did he say, remember me today when we're going to be in heaven together? No, he said, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Has his kingdom come yet? No, it hasn't. He hasn't returned to the earth yet. And then look what Yeshua said to him in verse 43 from the original language. And Yeshua said to him, truly, today I say to you, you will be with me in paradise. So the thief is asking him to remember him when he comes in his kingdom. And then Yeshua says to him, today I'm saying to you, you will be with me in paradise. Yeshua couldn't have been telling him he would be in paradise that day because Yeshua was going to be in the grave 3 days and three nights. Yeshua was not in heaven that day. He was sleeping in the grave 3 days and three nights, just like it says in Matthew 12, 38 through 40. So he doesn't say, you will be with me today in paradise. He's saying, truly, I'm telling you today, you will be with me in paradise. And when will he be with him in paradise? When he comes in his kingdom. Verse 42, when he comes in his kingdom. So that scripture, if someone is trying to use it to you to say that the dead go to heaven, is not valid. It's not saying it. Let's go to Job. The oldest book in the Bible is Job. And let's look at what Job said about the resurrection and when he dies. Job, the 14th chapter. We'll read a couple of verses here, starting in verse 10. Job, the 14th chapter, in verse 10. But man dies and is cut off, and man expires. And where is he? See, he dies. In verse 12, Job 14:12, even so man lies down and does not rise until the heavens are no more. They shall not awake nor be roused out of their sleep. Who will grant that you would hide me in Sheol? You would conceal me until your anger turns back, that you would set a limit for me and remember me. Sheol is the grave, it's the dirt. If a man die, shall he revive? All the days of my warfare, I will wait until my change comes. Until his change comes. When does that change come? At the resurrection. Job, the oldest book in the Bible. You know, a man who knew the words of Yahweh clearly knew that when you die, you're sleeping in the grave, waiting the resurrection. Waiting the resurrection. So, what is the promise then if it's not heaven? Let's go to Galatians 3. Galatians, the third chapter. If heaven is not the promise or the reward of the saved, then what is the reward of the saved? Galatians 3 and 16, look what it says. Now the promises which were made to Abraham and to his seed as a covenant, he did not say to your descendants as many, but your descendants as one, that is Messiah. So the promises were made to who? Abraham. He's the father of the faithful. He started this covenant. Like I said, we're always going to talk to you about covenant relationship, not religion. So whatever promise was promised to Abraham, it's the same promise as promised us, right? Look at verse 29 of Galatians 3. And if you are Messiah, if you are of Messiah, then you are seeds of Abraham, even heirs according to the promise. If you are Messiah, then you are seeds of Abraham, even heirs according to the promise. So once you come to faith, what happens? You get grafted into the one tree of Israel. You join that one everlasting covenant, right? And then from that point, you become a seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. So what was promised to Abraham? Was it heaven? Absolutely not. Let's look at Genesis 12. And we will go into this extensively next week. But I just want to lead in as we're talking about the state of the dead. We have to hit on the fact why it has been replaced that the dead go to heaven instead of receiving the earth. Genesis 12 and verse 2. And this is what Yahweh said. Yahweh said to Abraham, verse 1, go out from your land and your kindred and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. And you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you and curse the one despising you. And all the families of the earth, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And Abraham went out even as Yahweh spoke to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was a son of 75 years when he departed from Haran. And Abraham took his wife Sarah and his brother's son Lot and all their substance that they had gained and the persons they had gotten in Haran. And they went out to go into the land of Canaan, the land of Israel. And they came into the land of Canaan. That's what it was called before it was Israel. And Abraham passed through the land as far as the place to Shechem, to the oak of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And Yahweh appeared to Abraham and said, I will give this set apart land to your seed. And he built an altar there to Yahweh, who appeared to him. Very, very clearly, the reward of the saved is not heaven, but it is this very wonderful promised land of Israel. Psalm 105. Let's go to Psalm 105. Running out of time, I got to go quickly here. But this is a beautiful story that Satan has deceived believers into not knowing. He's deceived believers into thinking their reward is heaven, when actually the Father has a beautiful earth he's going to recreate during this millennium for us. Psalm 105 and verse 7. Psalm 105 and verse 7. He says, He is Yahweh or Elohim, His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered His covenant forever, the word He commanded to 1,000 generations, which He cut with Abraham and His oath to Isaac. We just read it. And He confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for a perpetual covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan, the land of Israel, the portion of your inheritance. What is the reward of the saved? The very land of Israel. Absolutely, the very land of Israel. Now, did Abraham go to heaven? No, Abraham did not go to heaven. Let's go to Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. Hebrews 11, and wow, look at this in Hebrews 11. It talks about everybody from Enoch to Moses to Abraham to all these people They all lived by faith. Elijah, right? Some people say, what about Enoch and Elijah? Didn't they go to heaven? No, they did not. We have a very good study on that. Because look what it says here. When it's talking, in Hebrews 11, they mention the great prophets, like Elijah. They mention Enoch by name. They mention David. They mention Moses. They mention all these people. And look what verse 13 says of Hebrew. These all died by way of faith, not having received the promises, but seeing them from afar and being persuaded and having embraced and confessed that they are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They all died not yet receiving the promise. No, they didn't go up to heaven. They died. They're in their grave. They're waiting the resurrection to receive their reward when our Savior comes. And we'll go over that next week. How he clearly says he's going to a place, and when he returns, he will bring his reward with him to each of us, according to what we do now. Drop down to verse 39. It says, and having obtained witness through the faith, these all did not obtain the promise. Yahweh, having foreseen something better concerning us, that they should not be perfected without us. How wonderful. Did Abraham receive the promise? No. And this is something that is wonderful, you know. We bring people here on pilgrim tours to Israel. I'm a pastor, and I take people on these tours. And we go to Hebron. Do you know in Hebron, actually, the bones of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they're still there today? They're still there in that grave, and it sends chills up my spine to think. As I'm standing just maybe 6 to 10 feet away from where their bones are, where they're resting, where they're asleep, waiting the resurrection. And I read this scripture saying that they all obtained witness through faith. These did not obtain the promise. Yahweh, having foreseen something better concerning us, that they should not be perfected without us. Wow. See, Abraham did not receive his promise yet, and you and me have not received our promise. We have to show the same faith that Abraham showed in our Heavenly Father and in his son Yeshua, so that when he returns, Abraham will, like we read in Thessalonians, Abraham will be resurrected up first, and then us who are alive will be resurrected with him, and we will all receive our promise together. And that's why we must show the same faith of Abraham if we want to be there in that day to receive the reward. So, friends, I think I clearly showed from John 3:13 that no man has ascended to heaven but the Son of Man, who came down from heaven. The dead are asleep. They're not floating on a harp, but they're asleep, as Scripture says. And next time, we are going to get into the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful promises of the reward of the saved. You have no idea what Yahweh has in store for those who love him and keep his commandments. We are the Congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem. You can write to us at P.O. Box 832, Carteret, C-A-R-T-E-R-E-T, New Jersey, 07008. We are online at www.coyhwh.com. So until next time, friends, remember, Satan has deceived the whole world, but that doesn't have to be you. And search the scriptures, for all our answers are there. So may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine on you. May his countenance lift you up. And may his peace be upon you. Until next time. Shalom, friends, from Israel.